Big Ten Plus 4 is a member of Odd Pods Media and ASAP All Sports All Plays Network. Hello, 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 and welcome to Big Ten Plus 4. We bring you college sports with Midwest perspective. We are blue collar and blue blood. I am Sam Sprunger, joined by Tony Hollinsworth on the other side of the screen there, and Dalton Shetler, who's normally with us at least once a week. Tony, he's not going to be here this week. First off, how are you?
I'm doing great. I mean, we're coming up to the holidays. That means time off. That means sleep. That means good time with families and whatnot. I went all out for basically my mom this season for Christmas. So,
oh boy. Hey, you know, I mean, it's finals week was last week. It's over. All the kids that are in school that would be going home for the holidays, they're home. They're not on campus any longer. Basketball kicking back off after finals week, kind of not a moratorium. There were some teams that played, but some schools took that week to where they're dedicating just to their athletes, to where they go do their finals on campus. But other schools playing some minor games, but their basketball's kicking back up. A few games on the slate today, tonight, which are all non-conference games. Football, not doing anything until next week. Yeah, at least with the Big Ten when it comes into consideration. The Big Ten doesn't start their bowl season until the 27th.
Yep.
So a little bit still of a quiet week, but yet we've got a lot that we can talk about. We're going to talk about some bowl games still. We talked last week, and this is not demeaning the bowls, but we kind of put them in tiers. Mm-hmm. And the four that we did last week are the minor ones, the less, and even if you take the Iowa-Kentucky one, which is, you know, it's a big bowl, you know, or whatever. But those are kind of the lower tier. We're going to do the middle tier ones today, and then we've got the big ones that also include Big Ten teams, which are the national semifinals, and we'll do that next Wednesday. So some stuff to talk about.
So what you're saying is last week's was like the Wendy's dollar, like 4 for $4 menu since
Dalton. Wow, you're bringing Wendy's back into it.
Huh? I have to. I mean,
I'm still shocked that Wendy's didn't do anything with Dalton. They let him just slide.
Well, and that's why I'm like, Wendy's, you can't just let this slide. Like, this man, you know,
called him out
off the air.
And basically said, you know, Duke's Mayo is so much better than Wendy's.
Yeah,
I mean, essentially, like, wow. That's what he said.
Yeah, and he said Duke's would do a better bowl than Wendy's, and Bew and I are like, no.
Yeah, well, we know he said if Wendy's sponsored a bowl, then maybe he'd get on their side, and I think that's basically just calling them out, just like, hey, you guys are no good.
I think,
and that's not at Sam Sprunger talking. That's at Dalton Shetler talking.
Exactly. Exactly. So you know, according to Dalton, you know, last week's is kind of like the Wendy's 4 for $4, you know, lower end.
Yeah.
Now we're moving to, like,
people like it because it's football, but they're not like, oh, it's
like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be great.
Right.
So this is more like Five Guys. Like, you're paying for more and getting like slightly better, right?
Or Red Robin, something like that.
Okay, yeah. Or Applebee's. We'll say Applebee's.
Okay, more of a more well-known national chain, I guess. No free ads, by the way.
Yeah, we're not sponsored by any of these people. Wendy's, if you want to do a sponsor, we will not be upset.
I'll wear a sticker every show. I'll wear a sticker every show.
Oh, heck yeah.
So, lots happening. There's a few topics that we're going to get to. Like I said, we're going to talk about the Bulls. If we have any time, we're gonna move on to a and maybe what the Pac-12 has been talking about, but we'll get to that point down the road just a little bit near the end of the show. This week, no headlines, or this week, this episode, this show today, no headlines. They'll be out on Friday morning during our live stream. So let's move to the Bulls. We talked about Dalton not being here today. We still have him introducing our bowl games. We like doing that because he kind of is able to articulate a little bit more kind of the setup, and then he lets us ramble about it. So I guess maybe that works. Let's jump to the first bowl game that we're going to talk about today.
All right, as we continue our bowl previews, let's take a look at the ReliaQuest Bowl. Down in Tampa Bay, January 2nd, it's Illinois against Mississippi State. For Illinois, the Illini, obviously without their defensive coordinator, Ryan Walters, who's now the new head coach at Purdue, but also without some of their best defenders. Sidney Brown has decided to opt out of the game. Devin Witherspoon's declared for the NFL draft, and that's somebody who was just named the Big Ten Defensive Back of the Year for his excellent season. How will they adjust? Meanwhile, on Mississippi State's side, you're dealing with the tragic passing of head coach Mike Leach. Ryan Arnett, now the interim head coach, is actually going to be named the permanent head coach for the Bulldogs. So to see how Mississippi State plays emotionally in this game will be a big part of this as well. What do you two take away from this one?
All right. Yeah, this is a bowl that really didn't catch my eye too much.
Mm-hmm.
Until the past week and a half, because a couple of things kind of drew me in. Obviously, Purdue hired their coach, and he's the DC, the outgoing DC from Illinois. Mm-hmm. So that brought my attention to this game a little bit more, just because I know Walters isn't coaching in it, but it's still you kind of can get a little bit of an idea, because for the most part they're going to play what he did. You know, yeah. his setup. So you kind of get an idea, and you already have an idea anyways. But then Coach Leach, Mike Leach passing away, that kind of brings me to concentrating on this game a little bit more as well. So this still means nothing in the aspect of the grand scheme of things when it comes to football or the college world or whatever, but it means a lot to at least one of these two schools. And I would contend even for Illinois, it means a lot, because they haven't been in the postseason for a while. So mm-hmm. now that they're making a trip back, they're going to put a little bit more concentration on performing well, even though they've got to fill in a new DC.
Yeah. And I would say at least for Illinois, I don't think it'll be as bad, because one of those defensive assistants can step up. And like you said, they're going to be kind of running the same thing. And I would be willing to bet a lot of these coaches already go into knowing that, hey, we're probably not going to have some of these players, like, yeah. They're going to declare for the draft, and they probably know this ahead of time. So all this week, probably throughout practice, they're not going to really have much of an issue with that.
Yeah, probably for the most part, they've known that these players weren't going to participate in the bowl game probably since the time they got their bid, or close to the time they got their bid.
Yeah. Now, on the Mississippi State side, I mean, honestly, this is probably going to be one of the best Mississippi State teams we're going to see this year. And I say that purely because of, unfortunately, the Pirate passing away. You know, Mike Lee, you know, we've seen athletes across all sorts of professional sports, you know, to kind of mainly tie it into football, you know, look at what Brett Favre did, you know, on Monday Night Football when his dad passed away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he threw for like 6 touchdowns that night. He was fantastic. You know, same thing for I'm trying to remember the specific Giants player, and I can't remember it off the top of my head, lost his child like right before the game, came out and ended up scoring a huge touchdown to put the 49ers up on the board. So we've seen these type.
It wasn't Debo Samuel, was it?
I don't think so.
I remember seeing it, the one you're talking about, but he scored mm-hmm. on a really long touchdown and then had a very touching moment in the end zone after he scored. Yeah.
Yeah, so a lot of times when this happens, this is when you see, you know, kind of like you said, you know, when you lost your dad, you go out, you do something for, you know, 2, 3, 4 hours to focus on something else. That way you don't have to be, you can kind of forget the real world just for a little bit. You can focus on something different. And obviously that's what Mississippi State is going to do. We talked about it last week, you know. there was potential thoughts of, well, maybe they'll play, maybe they won't. And like we talked about, Mike Leach would be like, absolutely not. Y'all are
I don't think there was that. Any chance. Anybody that brought up they may not play, I don't think had any connection to that football team in any way, shape, or form. They were speculating because you're right. It's when you're going through a loss and you're trying to cope with that loss, anything to keep your mind away from just sitting there thinking about that. Yes, you're correct. But think about this. They're going to go do what they were doing with the person they lost. Yep. And I think that it maybe even means even more to them because it's what they would be doing with the person they lost. I think they want to, I honestly would say this is going to be a blowout. Yep. Honestly. And I may be way off. I think Illinois is good, but they've got enough missing from their roster that is not participating or can't because they're injured or whatever, that I think come hell or high water, every single Bulldog's going to play.
Yeah.
Unless there's some high draft level players that decided, but honestly, when it comes to the loss, this may be just an absolute blowout. It's hard because of what that man meant to each or to that team.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be devastating, but at the same time, I think they're going to play inspired.
Yeah. Well, and to me, honestly, Illinois has lost two things off of really their greatest strength. They lost two things off of their defense. You lost your defensive coordinator and you lost your Big Ten player of the year and Sean Witherspoon. So, and their offense as well as their run game did, their offense didn't really surprise anybody. Their offense was not this juggernaut that people, couldn't overcome. It was just a, mediocre average offense. So to me, this is where Mississippi State, it's like, okay, hey, their defense is weaker. And they already just have an okay offense. Like this is very easily a winnable game. Even if Mike Leach is still here, this is still a very winnable game for Mississippi State.
Yeah. I don't know if it's an actual thing. I saw on social media some helmet that they said that Mississippi State was wearing. And I couldn't find any confirmation of it. So I don't know that it's real. I don't know if it was one of those concept ones that they said, oh, this would be cool to have Mississippi State wear, or if it was, this is Mississippi State's helmet. It was a bulldog pirate skull with the cross swords. And then it said Coach Leach underneath. And I think that would be, and it was all in Mississippi State colors, obviously, but I think it would be an amazing, because here's the thing, they're playing in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
They're playing at Raymond James Stadium. They have a pirate ship at Raymond James Stadium.
Yep.
I hate saying that. I would be not devastated, but I would be shocked if Illinois manhandles Mississippi State. Now, to say that Illinois couldn't win, I'm not going to say that because they're a good football team. I mean, they're one of those teams. They deserve a bowl game. They would have been just as, if not more competitive in that Big Ten championship had Purdue not gone. So they're a good team. But I would be shocked if Illinois runs away with this and wins by more than a field goal, if they win at all.
Yeah, that's my thing. I mean, I'm not saying it's not possible. I mean, anything is really possible with these bowl games. Again, like we talked about, this is mainly just kind of a test to see what your depth looks like, what guys look like potentially for next season. So, yeah, I would say it's really a toss-up. I'm kind of with you. I could see Illinois maybe pulling it out, but just purely based off of emotion, how probably much better some of these guys are going to play because Mike Leach passed away. And I mean, like you said, you're going to Raymond James Stadium, home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who are pirate themed with a pirate ship. I mean, you literally could not ask for any better. Like, they're going to feel it. And look at where they're going to. You look at Florida. Florida is a huge college football state. The Gators, the Seminoles, the Hurricanes, USF, UCF.
Like, I could almost guarantee you, if they're not wearing orange on the 2nd of January at Raymond James, they're rooting for
Mississippi State.
Exactly.
And that's not damning Illinois. That's not holding anything against Illinois.
Nope.
They drew the short straw, and I hate saying short straw, but they're the villain right now, and it's through no choice of their own, through no doing of their own. They're the villain, and I use that term so lightly because they're not villains. Yep. But if they win that game and it's an emotional game leading up to that point, I don't know that many teams many people are going to be happy other than Illinois fans. Those are going to be the only people that are happy, and maybe even some of them are going to be. And I'm not saying please let Mississippi State win this. I want to see them play inspired, and I think they're gonna. I think that's the big thing, is I think Mississippi State's going to come out with a fire lit under their butts, and I think they're gonna want to do Coach Leach proud in that farewell to him.
Yeah, I agree, and it's you know, just like you said, it's kind of the short draw, unfortunately, that Illinois is playing Mississippi State in such a, you know, I don't really want to say vulnerable, but emotional time. So I mean, it's nothing against Illinois. It's just, you know, that's what those college football fans are down there are going to do. They're going to show love and support to Mike Leach.
Well, it's kind of like the NCAA tournament, basketball tournament. Like if let's say, and honestly, this is the one that comes to mind. I don't know why. Iowa versus Northwestern State 15 years ago or whatever. Northwestern State's a 15 seed. Iowa's a number 2 seed. The only people rooting for Iowa were the Iowa fans. Everybody else in that arena was going for Northwestern State. And when Northwestern State won, they blew up and exploded. So, I mean, like, it's a – and it might not have been a 2-15, but it might have been a 3-14. But still, Northwestern State got everybody on their side because they were the underdog. And that's kind of an underdog story with Mississippi State at ReliaQuest. So, again, with it being bowl season and the games not having any ramifications other than just they're playing, you can't really tell. But I honestly would think it would be a Mississippi State win.
Yeah, I think so.
So, excuse me, goodness. Oh, thought I was going through puberty there for a second. I almost squealed right there when I said, let's go to the second quarter. All right, we're going to move on to the next bowl game. This one, actually, Tony and I both have some rooting interest in this one. But let's jump to Dalton.
Also on January 2nd, the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl. It's Purdue and LSU. This one's a bit interesting. We're just talking about on the Illinois side that their defensive coordinator is now the new Purdue head coach, that being Ryan Walters. He doesn't necessarily take over the controls quite yet, but to see how Purdue plays out with Drew Brees coming back to West Lafayette to help out in bowl preparation for this game, it matters obviously to some of those folks around Purdue that really call Purdue home, like Sam, and I'm curious to get Sam's take on what this bowl game even means to him emotionally, coming off the division championship in the Big Ten West. But star quarterback Aiden O'Connell has decided to opt out of this bowl game against LSU. That changes things in a massive way. See what that kind of means. Also for LSU, this is their first bowl appearance under first-year head coach down there in the Bayou, Brian Kelly. Of course, LSU had the staple win earlier this season, going for 2 and knocking off Alabama. How do you both see this one playing out in the Cheez-It Citrus Bowl, Purdue and LSU?
Well, that's a loaded question. Tony, go ahead and kind of talk about what you're going to look for in this game, because I know you're going to watch. You have the rooting interest other than Michigan State of LSU. So this is of interest to you. How you see this kind of, what are you looking for?
Yeah, I'm kind of looking for, you know, what does LSU really do, to me, more on offense, because that was kind of my biggest question mark. Like, their defense was pretty good for most part of this year. Offensively, with JT Daniels was really a big surprise for me. Like, when I heard he was coming from Arizona State, I was a little bit disappointed. I was like, oh man, just because I, you know, living in the Midwest, I don't get to see a whole lot of Arizona State games, so I don't really know what this guy looks like. Having a couple Arizona State fans, you know, they told me, they're like, hey, he's he's pretty good quarterback. You know, you'll be surprised. And watching him this year and just seeing what Brian Kelly has been able to do in really such a quick turnaround and what was still supposed to be a rebuild year. You know, I'm honestly really surprised at how well
you think. Sorry, I didn't mean to totally completely jump in there, but you think in before they played Texas A&M, they were talking about LSU maybe being the first two loss team to get into the playoff.
Yeah, they were ranked number 5 if for
they
the longest
could
time.
if they could beat Georgia in the SEC championship.
Yep.
There was talk that they could be a two loss team to make the playoff. That's the position that they were in.
Yeah. Now, I'll say, as even as an LSU fan, I can't necessarily say that they would have deserved it more than probably maybe a one loss team goes. And I say that because, again, you know, you look at their losses. They lost to Florida State. Then they lost to Tennessee. They got blown out by Tennessee. And then, of course, they end the season with losing to Texas A&M, which effectively ended their, you know, playoff hopes. It's one of those. I liked watching LSU after they beat Bama. You know, to me as an LSU fan, I was like, oh, man, this is literally just the highlight of the entire season right here. They beat Alabama. Like, I'm completely content from this point moving forward. Just because they ruined
the rest
Alabama's
of the season
champion.
Can be just a shambles. They beat Alabama
like that. That's really all that matters to me. They beat Alabama. So to me, that's really what I'm looking for is how well can the offense do? To me, the run game probably could have been a little bit better. But again, for the fact of what JT Daniels was able to do, I'm super impressed. And Sam, I just want to say, go Tigers. Okay. Go Tigers. We coming.
That's all right. Dalton mentioned he'd like to kind of know what I was feeling after the West Championship and then the Big Ten. Let's say it this way. Had Purdue won, they'd be in the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. I would be paying a lot more attention to that.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty positive Aiden O'Connell probably would be playing in that game is what I'm assuming. Yeah. We kind of talked about this a little bit last week when I got to talking about what games that weren't semifinals would get people to play. The Rose Bowl is one of them. If your team hadn't been there in a while or ever, you're more than likely gonna like last year. What was it? Chris Olave and Garrett Wilson didn't even play in the Rose Bowl. And that's because Ohio State doesn't look at the Rose Bowl like a lot of other teams do.
Yeah.
They look at the Rose Bowl as, well, we didn't make it to the national semifinal. That's what they look at that as. Mm-hmm. They don't look at it as what it used to be, which was the reward for winning the Big Ten. So I would have paid attention to the Rose Bowl a lot more. I'm going to watch this game, but looking at I forget, Tony, and I don't know if you remember, back against Indiana State, Aiden O'Connell didn't play.
Yeah.
I don't remember what quarterback played.
I don't either.
But looking at the roster, none of these names ring a bell. I guess I could look up the Indiana State game if I really wanted to. And see who play, but that's the big thing is you can't replace the cog that he didn't play very well against Wisconsin. They got housed. Yeah. He didn't play very well against Iowa. They got housed. He didn't play against Indiana State. They won, but it was because they were playing Indiana State. Damning any of the boys on Indiana State, but good Lord, they're Indiana State. You're a Big Ten team. You should win.
I know Aiden O'Connell did play against Indiana State. He was 17
back day.
17-19, 211 and 4 touchdowns.
Burton was the quarterback.
Okay.
So Austin Burton, who's a senior from Massachusetts. I assume he's probably going to play again. He's a senior. We've got to treat this what it is. This is a Jeff Brohm team, for one. Mm-hmm. This is a Jeff Brohm team that is not being coached by Jeff Brohm.
Nope.
His brother's coaching the team. So you're not probably, I mean, you're going to try out people in position or in their positions. This is going to be a glorified practice game for Purdue. Mm-hmm. And I get it. I want them to win, but I'm not going to hold it as highly as if they were playing in Pasadena had they beaten Michigan, you know. Yeah. That's not me saying, oh, Bulls, I don't care. I care. It's not as sexy of a matchup as I was hoping. Not saying LSU, you get what I'm saying is that what it could have been compared to what it is. It's pulling my attention away from it a little bit.
Well, and kind of like, I get what you're saying. It's not that we don't really care about the bowl games, but kind of like we talked about with even Mississippi State and Illinois, there's really no changing what happens, win or lose, for either one of these teams.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, it doesn't change anything for their landscape. It doesn't change anything for the future. They're not playing any more games after this bowl game until next season.
Win or lose, they're not playing anymore. So like, yeah. it's not like they win go or lose go home. It's win or lose, you're going home. You know, there's not a tomorrow.
Yeah.
So like for the seniors, this is their goodbye. This is their going out party, basically, which and I guess maybe that's the way you look at it is those seniors that won't be coming back. It's their goodbye. And it's a tryout for those people that are kind of fringe or have some freshmen that are going to be coming in that they're going to have to be competing against.
Yep.
That'll give them. Well, first off, they had 2 weeks of. Or 3 weeks of practice that you wouldn't have normally gotten if you weren't in a bowl game. So that's an advantage, but at the same time, you've got a game situation that you can participate in to try to get that as well. So I'm looking forward to it because the one thing I like doing, and I don't know if you're this way, Tony, I like watching my team play a team that I haven't seen them play before. I've never seen Purdue and LSU play, so it's going to be interesting and fun to watch. Now, I hope it's not as interesting and fun, and I use the air quotes, when Purdue and Auburn played a few years ago, or when Purdue and Oklahoma State played a few years ago, where they were just blown out by both of those teams. I'm not looking forward to that necessarily, and I'm not saying this is going to happen against LSU, but I like seeing that. Oh, hey, I haven't ever seen these teams play. I like watching it, and then there you go.
Yeah, I think that's probably my biggest thing. Why I liked the expansion of the college football playoffs, because you get to see this more. Like when you have a 4-team playoff, it's okay. These are literally the 4 best teams in the country, supposedly. You know, we can make an argument on that all we want to.
Yeah, subjectively, but the best.
Right. But I mean, how often do you ever see this type of a matchup where you have, you know, LSU versus Purdue, and even look at the Rose Bowl. You know, how often would you ever see, you know, like we're going to talk about here probably on the back end of the second half, you know, Penn State versus Utah. I mean, that'd be a great matchup every year. That would be one of those like, ooh, this is going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
So,
well, I do have one last thing to talk about when it comes to this game before we go to the half. Tony, I told you about this. I told you and Dalton in a text stream about this. There are some LSU football fans out there, Tony, that are a little askew on, they don't think about what they're saying before they post it to social media. I know that's a shock that somebody would post something before actually researching it. But Drew Brees, we talked about it and Dalton mentioned it in his preview. Drew Brees took a position with Purdue for this bowl game as a special assistant coach for the bowl game against LSU in the Citrus Bowl. There are some LSU fans that are petitioning to boycott all Drew Brees businesses in New Orleans because he didn't have, or he had the audacity to take a position with a school that he doesn't have any relationship with.
Yep.
That's their words. Mm-hmm. How dare he go against his roots, Tony? That was a statement as well. Tony, I watched Drew Brees his senior year beat Ohio State so Purdue could go to the Rose Bowl. Purdue went to the Rose Bowl with Drew Brees. Should I say it slower, louder, or both? Drew Brees went to Purdue. He is a Boilermaker. Yes, I am talking slow, loud, and like you're four, because you know what? A simple Google search would have found that Drew Brees went to Purdue. Get over it. These aren't even Saints fans, Tony, that are complaining. These are LSU fans. Get over yourself, one. Just because you went to school there doesn't mean he's required to take a job if he takes a coaching position. Two, do a damn Google search and find he went to Purdue. Act like you've got a brain in your head before you demean a man who has given half of his life to the area in which you live in. You're insulting him.
Mm-hmm.
And this, yes, I am mad because it's one of those things that is easily avoidable just by doing a Google search. Say, oh, he went to Purdue. Okay, makes sense. You're not happy, maybe. That's fine. But he went to Purdue. To say that this man doesn't know his roots, he grew the damn roots in West Lafayette.
Mm-hmm.
So don't do this. And I know I've went way too long on this, but it really makes me mad that, I mean, just simple Google search. That is as simple as it gets.
Well, and I will say to semi-defend the LSU fans to a point. I'm not defending them for not doing Google search, because believe me, I'm a big proprietor of that as well. You got to remember, when did Drew Brees play at Purdue?
In the 90s.
In the late 90s, right? A lot of these LSU fans probably weren't even conceived.
I don't know that I never saw Joe Montana play at Notre Dame, but I know he played at Notre Dame.
No,
you know why?
You mean he didn't play for USC? He didn't play for UCLA?
You know why I know that? Simple Google search. Put in Joe Montana. It will tell you the college he played at.
Mm-hmm.
On the side. You don't even need to look it up.
But I will say, for New Orleans, they're very family oriented. You look at all the things that Drew Brees did. So I think that's why
Drew Brees stayed in New Orleans for the remainder of his career after he came from San Diego, because he felt he fit in. Yep. He's not from that area, but he's from that area, sort of. You know, he's from Dallas. Texas,
he's from the South. Like, they're not that far
in that area. So I get that he likes it because of that family orientation. He is a family man. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, aren't you insulting him by saying you should know where your roots are when he's going to his roots? He's not an idiot. He graduated college. Mm-hmm. He's a Hall of Famer. He won a Super Bowl.
Now
he knows what he's doing.
There, we've seen some people that still graduate college, and there's some educated idiots.
No, I get
what you're saying.
But you also don't man an NFL offense prolifically and set records and win a Super Bowl by beating one of the other greatest quarterbacks in the game and not know what in the world you're doing.
That's true.
So I don't damn LSU, the school itself. I don't have anything against it, but there's some fans on your side there, Tony, that they need to keep quiet until they do just not even a ton. 6 seconds worth of research.
Hey, 6 seconds is a long time, sir.
I get that. And that may be a lot of research to them. And that's fine. Do a lot of research then. But do your research. Yes, it touches a nerve, because you know what? Yes, I'm a Purdue fan. And yes, that's why it angers me, because we knew Drew Brees before they knew anything about him. You know,
that's true.
West Lafayette would vote him king of the world if they could. So don't talk about roots, okay? Seriously. Mm-hmm. He could walk in and become mayor of West Lafayette if he moved.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Simple.
They would vote for him, yeah.
So, you know, that to say that he has no... There were comments even saying he needs to take all the businesses he started down here and move them to West Lafayette and see if those hicks will support his butt.
Oh, 100% they will.
They will vote him king of the world, Baton Rouge. West Lafayette loves Drew Brees probably more than Joe Tiller. And Joe Tiller was grandpa, like that grandpa figure, like that icon football-wise.
Mm-hmm.
Drew Brees is bigger than that in West Lafayette. So don't talk about see if West Lafayette will support him. They absolutely will.
Oh, 100%.
So I'm off my soapbox. I'm off my old man soapbox where I'm preachy. but that struck a nerve because you know what? Purdue knows loyalty.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be one reason why Drew Brees was so adamant about wanting to coach. If he was going to coach, it was going to be at Purdue, you know, yeah. Or at least on this special occasion, mm-hmm. or whatever. And I think it's him trying it out. And, you know, here's the thing. I, as a Purdue fan, knowing Drew Brees played at Purdue, if he were to say, hey, I want to coach football now, and he goes to, even if you were to take a position at IU, I wouldn't go, how dare you go away against your roots? The man's trying to make himself better.
Mm-hmm.
He's trying to succeed in what he's doing. What does it matter?
Yeah. Well,
I'm not going to be happy, but I'm not going to call him out.
Yeah. Well, and I'll say too, for Drew, he probably did it in the best way. Cause you know, like you said, as successful as he's been on, you know, all on both aspects of the collegiate and the, you know, NFL side.
Yeah.
You know, he really could have had his pick.
So he was very successful in college too.
Yeah. So, I mean, he really could have had his pick on where he, you know, where does he want to go as far as coaching? But sure. You know, like you said, you have a little bit of, you know, loyalty more to the school that took a chance on you. Like you said, he wasn't recruited by Texas. He wasn't recruited by Texas A&M, Texas Tech. He wasn't recruited by those big Texas schools.
Oklahoma, nothing. He had one offer.
This one school in, you know, middle of nowhere, Indiana, up north, where it's cold, was like, hey, Texas boy, how would you like to come play football and be a Boilermaker? Okay.
Well, and I think Joe Tiller probably sold his offense to make that boy at that time, and yes, he was a boy, that boy at that time, understand, look, you're going to be the middle of this offense, and we are going to break records.
Yep.
And with it being the only scholarship offer he had at the time, he jumped on it. Why wouldn't you? It's one offer, and that guy that's giving you the offer is telling you you're going to be a record holder in the Big Ten. You know, so yeah, he went and he did just that. And so it's, I guess I'm making it a big, huge deal when it's not really even all LSU fans, but it's always the bad that comes out and shines through. And I'm like, come on, you know, I know there are Purdue fans that I'm sure are just as moronic. I just don't see it as much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because I know that moronic is moronic. It doesn't matter what team you vote or root for. But that was just really, I just happened upon it too. I saw it and I'm like, are you kidding? Come on. And there were LSU fans that were absolutely defending it. So there wasn't anything there. But we've gone too long. Go Boilers. Hope Drew Brees really enjoys coaching. Wouldn't mind seeing him get into coaching after this. So let's hit the half, Tony. What do you say?
Let's do it.
Go you Tigers. Are listening to Big Ten Plus Four, hosted on Anchor and StreamYard.
Hi, I'm Lauren.
And I'm John.
And we host the Beard Owl Podcast, the podcast where we talk about two of the greatest things in the world, beer and Weird Al.
And a bunch of other stuff.
That's right. Do you like nostalgia? Do you like sibling banter? Do you like beer? Do you like Weird Al? Are you human?
If you answered yes to any of those questions, give us a listen. Become one of our loyal commenters.
Hey, you there. We've got a question for you. Are you tired of clickbait stories and the loudest voices driving discussions in culture and entertainment?
If so, I'm Dylan.
I'm Kendall.
And I'm Corey. And we host the podcast From the Middle. We're middle-class guys living in the middle of America, in the middle chapters of our lives with points of view somewhere in the middle.
We take a more reasonable and centrist approach in our discussions covering genres like comedy, culture, entertainment, and interviews with really interesting folks like business owners, comic creators, doctors, news anchors, New York Times best-selling illustrators, professional stand-up comics, and more. We really value a relaxed and conversational podcast. One that we hope is so fun and laid back, you'll forget you're not actually hanging out with us.
So search at From the Mid Pod, just like it sounds, or check us out everywhere you can find podcasts.
Okay, we're moving on to the third quarter. We're moving on to another bowl game after we went a little long because I decided I was going to beat up a bunch of keyboard warriors, I guess is the best way to put it. But anyways, we have one more bowl game that we want to talk about today before we move on for this week, and it is it's a big one, maybe even a grandfather, I guess you would say, huh?
Ooh.
And let's stay on January 2nd once more, shall we? It's a full day of Big Ten bowl games the day after the new year, but the granddaddy of them all, the Rose Bowl. If there's a bowl game with any kind of prestige or integrity to protect and preserve, it's got to be the Rose Bowl. Penn State will represent the Big Ten Conference in this game. Meanwhile, on the Pac-12 side, it will be Utah, the Pac-12 champs, matter of fact, knocking off USC in the conference championship game and also knocking USC out of the college football playoff with that victory. Penn State comes into this one 10-2 mark on the year. They beat every team they should have beat all season long, but they also lost to the teams that they should have lost to. They lost to Ohio State and lost to Michigan by double digits both. So kind of interesting when you look and reflect trying to analyze on Penn State's regular season. Going into this one, the reports that we've heard lately indicate that Sean Clifford still plans to play in this game for Penn State. Drew Allar behind him on the quarterback depth chart still constantly improving as well. Jair Brown, the defensive back for Penn State, plans to play in this game as well. That is a big boost in the Nittany Lions side. What do you both make of the Rose Bowl, Penn State in Utah?
It's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
Big game. We just talked about it just a few minutes ago. Is, you know, this is one of those, and Dalton even touched on it there. If there's anything that the prestige needs to be retained when it comes to certain bowls, this is one of them. And it's not even honestly because it's a Big Ten historically connected bowl game. It's just always been the biggest bowl. I mean, Tony, you grew up, were you just a Big Ten fan or have you always liked LSU in your
both.
Life?
Both. So I.
So was the Sugar Bowl really huge to you growing up?
Not really.
Okay. So even though your team of rooting interest, their big bowl game was the Sugar Bowl if they won the SEC. Mm. That one isn't as big as to you. What was the Rose Bowl big?
Yeah, to me the Rose Bowl was always big.
And that's not even necessarily because, I mean, did you always grow up as a Michigan State fan growing up?
Michigan State's kind of new. I honestly, okay. So I can tell you why I became an LSU fan. So in high school here in Indiana, as obviously you well know, Indiana football wise, aside from Notre Dame back in like the 80s, has not really had a whole lot of general success
no.
throughout the years. So being in high school, I noticed a lot of people in my school started to become Alabama fans. And not only were they Alabama fans, they were the extremely stereotypical, annoying Roll Tide.
Oh, so they're the 1990s Yankees fans.
Yes.
And the ones that became Yankees fans when they started getting good.
Yeah. So I literally heard this. And again, this is one of those I had slowly started to become kind of introduced more into sports. And I'm like, who is Alabama's biggest rival that Bama just absolutely hates more than anything? And LSU pops up and I'm like, you know what? I'm an LSU Tigers fan from this point moving forward because I hate Alabama that flippin' much.
So, excuse me, the whole thing that I'm getting at here is that even though this is not a national semifinal game, this is still a big game. Penn State hasn't been here. I don't remember. I remember they were there in 96. I don't remember if they've been there since then. But even if it's been 2000s, that's still close to 20 years since they've been there. They're going to treat this as the big deal as it is, mm-hmm. you know, or as it should be. Utah made their first appearance last year. at the Rose Bowl. It was a big deal. They played one world of a game against Ohio State. It saved bowl season other than the semifinals, in my opinion. And I told Dalton that Rose Bowl saved bowl season. It was the best bowl game of bowl season, mm-hmm. but it saved bowl season other than the semifinals. I think this game could do the same thing. Yeah, it really could. Utah, granted, it's their second year in a row, but like I think they really enjoyed it. And it's still new to them. You know what I mean? It's not like USC where USC had been, is used to going. It's not like UCLA where they've historically been able to go there a lot. It's not like Washington where you've seen them in the Rose Bowl a lot. Utah's been there once. Mm-hmm. So they're still hungry. They still hold the Rose Bowl as the Rose Bowl. They haven't been to the playoff to where they're, jaded by the, well, this doesn't even mean anything. This is still a big game to them. And Penn State, they lost two games. Mm-hmm. They lost to Michigan and they lost to Ohio State. Like those are the only, if they win one of those games, just one of them, they're probably in the playoff.
Yeah.
They're that close. So I think they're going to want to make a statement. There's probably going to be some players. I haven't even looked. I'm really bad at that, especially this season, of seeing who's opted out and stuff. But I see this game as being a pretty competitive one. I think it's probably, minus the blowout part, probably going to be much like the Pac-12 championship game was. It's going to be really high impact. And let's get down to brass tacks. I think the main reason why Utah won by so much is Caleb Williams got hurt.
Yeah.
In that Pac-12 championship. Once he got hurt, it went downhill for USC and it was over.
Yeah.
Which I think gave him the Heisman, honestly.
Yeah.
Because it showed what he meant to USC after he got hurt. They went downhill and did nothing. And, it just cemented that he was the most valuable player on his team in college football. This is going to be a good game. I don't know the X's and O's because, again, in 3 days you could have four people decide they're not playing on both sides, and then it's a totally different game that we're going to be dealing with on January 2nd. And we might even cover some of those before the national semifinals, because these games haven't happened yet when the national semifinals roll around. These all happen after the semifinals, so we may have different games to look at come that point. But this is going to be a good game, I think. I'll probably watch this more than the Purdue LSU game, to be honest.
Yeah, because to me, this really kind of, and this is going to sound crazy, this to me kind of represents the best of the Big Ten after obviously Ohio State and Michigan. And I say that because the best of the rest, really. Because I mean, you look at it, but Michigan and Ohio State are in the playoffs, so you already know that they're going to be beating up the big boys anyway. And always the talk is always, well, how good can the rest of the Big Ten be? Because after Michigan, Ohio State, nobody else really matters, and that's what I've seen from a lot of different college football fans. And you get to go up against the best of the not only Pac-12, but a team that honestly throughout most of the year in Utah dominated just about everybody they faced. I mean, I know it's Southern Utah, but they dropped 73 on them. They dropped 63 on the mess that is Colorado. they lost by 3 to Oregon. They lost by 10 to UCLA, and they lost by a last second game winning field goal against Florida to start the year. Definitely. Everybody else they pretty much dominated. And I mean, honestly, this is a Utah team that when they first came out and said, okay, they're going to play USC for the Pac-12 championship, everybody's like, ooh, this is going to be a really good game. And, we thought that USC was going to continue to roll. Yeah.
It would have been.
And again, this is one that you look at both of these teams defensively, as far as their conference goes, they were some of the best. And, going through, you look at really the amount of fight that Penn State put up against both Michigan and Ohio State, really up until the fourth quarter. Like they played three solid quarters against both of those teams the entire time. It was the fourth quarter. They just couldn't hold on anymore. And it was just game over. So to me, I think I kind of agree. I think it'll be a great game. Like you said, last year with Utah versus Ohio State, that kind of revitalized the Rose Bowl. And I did find out through a little bit of, you know, like you said, Google research, because I was bored in the bathroom last night. I was looking and found
that I Googled
the six major bowls rotate as far as the college semi semi playoff games go. So I think it's every third year the Rose Bowl would be hosting it. So I believe next year the Rose Bowl will be one of the top two games for will be one of the top two games for going into
leave the them in the Bowl Sugar Bowl playoff. Maybe or no the Sugar Bowl was in it last year Sugar. So it'd be them in the Orange maybe this year
I think
next
yeah.
year
yeah because Sugar yeah Sugar was last year so yeah
because it's it would be Fiesta Orange. And Peach this year
yeah yeah so roll Rose and Citrus.
Orange,
my bad. Orange and citrus. It's the same damn thing. Yeah. You just renamed it.
Nuh-uh. Yeah. Limes and lemons are citrus fruits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they don't put limes and lemons. They put oranges.
Doesn't matter. It's all citrus.
And grapefruit. Grapefruit.
Yeah. See, there you go. Anyways, so this is gonna be a good game. I look forward to watching a little bit of the granddaddy of them all while we kind of sum up our day or our weekend, and I gotta go back to work the next day, so yeah, it's rough. Anyways,
no, I get the Monday after Christmas off, and then I go back to work, so I'm already gonna be working still.
All right, well, sorry for you. Yeah. Let's move to the fourth. All right, really quickly, let's just kind of go over the men's and women's schedule, kind of the basketball wise, the rest of this or tonight and tomorrow. We'll maybe bring it up on Friday as to what's going on, if there's anything of note. The next couple of days in the men's Big Ten season, there's not a lot happening. I guess there is one big, and I use that term loosely, because at the beginning of the year, it was probably a big matchup, Michigan and North Carolina, but neither of them are ranked. And now it's kind of just it's a matchup of big name, but they're both kind of struggling up to this point this year to this point. But you've got Eastern Illinois and at Iowa, Oakland at Michigan, that Michigan against North Carolina game that we talked, Maine and Ohio State, and then New Orleans visits Purdue. Not much happening. Finals week is over. We talked about the fact that most kids are not there if they're not from the area. Excuse me. So these are the games that are used to kind of bring in the people that don't normally get to go to games, because I'm looking at the resale market. You can get a ticket to Ohio State, Maine for $3. $3.
Maine is not a big name.
No, the Bears are not a big draw in Columbus, evidently. At least the Maine Bears. The Maine Bears.
Oh, the Maine Bears. Okay. Yeah. So not Duh Bears. They're just
now the Oakland Grizzlies. You can see them play Michigan State for $14 in East Lansing if you wanted. So not some big ticket. The most expensive one is New Orleans and Purdue for $25. I think that probably has more to do with the number one beside Purdue rather than the privateers coming into West Lafayette. So yeah, that's Wednesday's slate for the Big Ten men's side. On Thursday, you've got St. Peter's at Maryland, Chicago State at Minnesota, Quinnipiac at Penn State, Illinois at Missouri. That's not going to be a horrible game. You can go to that game for $20 if you want. Yeah. So not a lot happening. These are all what you would kind of consider warm-up games, I would think. Now the Illinois Missouri game, that's kind of a toss-up because Missouri's not horrid, but that's also a rivalry game. That's the border war. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's a border rivalry now. They don't like to use the word war anymore, but that it's the border rivalry that they have between those two. The Missouri or the North Carolina Michigan game, that's a toss-up, but other than that, the Big Ten team should win.
Yeah,
should. I don't see much threat when it comes to that aspect. On the women's side, Give me a second. My stupid computer decided to go slow. The women's side, there's not just as little happening. Campuses don't want to do big matchups because of, you know, not selling to the kiddies, to the students. But you've got Maryland is at Purdue of Fort Wayne today, or played. Well, we're recording this in the morning on Wednesday. They play in the morning on Wednesday. They have already played. I'm sure Maryland handled the Mastodons there.
Yeah.
Mastodons are the Terps are traveling to Fort Wayne and playing on campus in Fort Wayne. Kind of an interesting little matchup. I wish I'd have known that. I might have made a trip over to Fort Wayne to watch. I'm an alum. I can get tickets.
Fear the turtle.
Well, yeah, but then you got to fear the mastodon too.
No.
Yeah, it's the herd.
The herd.
Join the herd. But then you have Cornell, Penn State. Butler visits number 4 IU. Dartmouth and Iowa, Florida Atlantic, Illinois. I know I'm just reading off a list of games that are happening, but there's not a lot happening in the world of basketball. But we kind of just Ohio State and Oregon, 16 against number 3. That's going to be a good game.
Yeah, right there.
That's in San Diego. Ohio State and Oregon. Then you have also Kansas and Nebraska playing as well.
That'll also be a good game.
Yeah.
Or say at least, yeah,
real really light schedule on Thursday as well. So, not a lot happening in the Big Ten on the basketball side, minus a couple of matchups.
Harry, say the Big East. I mean, a little bit. UConn took on Georgetown last night. They ended up winning. UConn also beat Butler. UConn was who I ended up becoming a fan of in the 2010s, 2011s, when everybody in Indiana decided magically that they were Butler fans out of the blue. And I was like, I'm rooting for the Huskies, and I've liked the Huskies ever since. So
yeah, I became a Seton Hall fan growing up, and it was because of their run and to the 1989 NCAA championship game where they got beat by Michigan. Mm-hmm. And I kind of just followed PJ Carlesimo was their coach and everything, and I just really kind of liked them. And now the school that my boys go to, they're the Pirates as well. So I guess it's I'm on Mike Leach's trek, I guess.
There you say you're following Mike Leach there, buddy.
All right. Well, that wraps it up. Tony, go ahead and let everybody know how they can find us.
So you can find us on Twitter, TikTok, and Instagram at Big10+4. The unfortunate part about all three of those social media websites is they make you spell out plus. Why? Why? Nobody's got time to spell stuff anymore. If I don't have 6 seconds to Google who Drew Brees played for in college, I don't have time to be spelling out the plus.
Well, but then you don't need to follow us on TikTok, Twitter, or Instagram then.
But that's where Facebook comes in. Facebook said, you know what? You're right. You don't have 6 seconds to do that. You could just type in plus and it'll pop up to our page, which makes it so much easier for me. You can also find us on oddspodsmedia.com, as well as a whole slew of other great shows, other great podcasts for whenever you're bored. If you don't want to do 6 seconds of Googling research, you can also find other podcasts, other shows to listen to. And you can also find us on ASAP twice a week, because we're just that good. We got to double it, putting it on twice. And if you want to see us in person and all the crazy shenanigans that we may or may not do here on the show, you can find us on Anchor later today as well.
Spotify.
Darn it.
Anchor is where we're hosted. Spotify offers the video.
Oh, okay. I thought Anchor did too. I thought Anchor was good.
Anchor is owned by Spotify, so it kind of is, but it is two different. Like, Anchor's got its own distribution, as well as Spotify has its own distribution. So, like, we're distributed to both, even though they're both owned by Spotify.
So like Walmart and Sam's Club, like same, but not.
You
same.
Literally That's go different. To go if you literally go to Anchor, you cannot watch the video. If you go to Spotify, you can.
Okay.
Like that's the difference between the two. So, well, that's it for this episode. We had a lot to talk about. Dalton, busy man. We appreciate him giving us the videos to talk about the bowl games. Tony, we'll see you on Friday, right before the holiday. So, from all of us here at Big Ten Plus Four. Sorry, I started to hiccup at the same time that I started to talk, so I had to force it down. But from everybody here at Big Ten Plus Four, I'm Sam Sprunger. That's Tony Hollinsworth, Dalton Shetler. We'll see you later.